Our second scripture reading today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. He will put the sheep on His right hand and the goats at His left. Then the King will say to those at His right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed Me. I was naked, and you gave Me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of Me. I was in prison, and you visited Me." Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" Then the King will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to the least of these who are members of My family, you did it to Me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of My mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts today be acceptable in Your sight. O God, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. These famous words from Micah 6:8, they are a motto. They're a motto for many Christians and inspiration for thousands. People from all walks of life and all over the world try to follow these three precepts, myself included. But very few people that I know even came close to fulfilling them in the way that Barb did. I first got to know Barb well when I came to Central Reformed Church a little over 2 years ago. I had started an armchair theologians group, and Barb and her sister Helen, they were faithful attendees of this group. We would always pick a theological book, and we would read and discuss them, usually over dinner at Big Bob's or over a bowl of baba ganoush over at Ostas. The second book that the group picked was Boff's little book on liberation theology. And this book was very much concerned with God's justice. As we discuss scriptures and theology in the book, scriptures that in the book that ultimately led thousands of Christians to be martyred, Barb kept sharing example after example of justice issues right here in Grand Rapids, right in the Reformed Church of America. Barb advocated for justice. She worked hard to make public policies fairer for her neighbors. Even when it wasn't popular or easy, Barb Pekich took this little piece of scripture very seriously. You see, for Barb, justice wasn't simply following the laws of the land or the denomination or changing the laws. It was what you lived. Changing the laws, and even more importantly, it was about changing people's attitudes. When people would call up Hartside asking for a speaker, Barb only agreed to come if she could bring some neighbors along with her to tell their own stories. Barb didn't want to speak for people, but through her living out of justice, she gave others the opportunity to speak. Barb also was a teacher of how to live justly. When Barb's son Bill was in high school, he was often ridiculed by the rival teams for being the only white player on an otherwise black team. Barb taught her son to leave his anger on the field and how to respect people for how they treated others rather than by the color of their skin. So today when we read Micah 6:8, and in our lives when we strive to do justice as Christians, it may serve us well to take our inspiration from the life of Barb Pekich. The second precept from the Micah passage is that of loving kindness. Barb was extraordinarily kind. She loved to be kind. When she was young, she would ask her parents if she could bring her little sister Helen along with her friends to her high school football games. And then she invited Helen to come up for sibling weekends at Alma College. Barb had the exceptional ability to see the world from other people's perspectives. And she would freely give people exactly what it was that they needed. She mothered everyone, worrying about them and their families. She was always asking if they were eating right. Her house was the gathering place for her children and their United Nations group of friends. Every friend that was ever brought home was welcomed. They were treated as if though they belonged there. Some friends even came over for meals several times a week. The Pekich house door was always open, and the friends would feel so secure they would walk in without knocking and would greet Barb by saying, "Hi, Mom, how are you?" Barb loved hanging out with people. She was a fun-loving person with an extremely goofy side. I'm told that Barb created family traditions, and she would stick Christmas bows on her forehead, and she was remembered distinctly for bouncing up and down in the car, going down the interstate, belting out the song, "Jeremiah was a bullfrog." And if you know Barb, you can picture that. Barb once told me about her strategy for taking car trips with the four Pekich children. And it's another example of her exceptional insight and her kindness. She knew that the kids would easily get bored on their long interstate journeys. So in the front seat, Barb would pack a big bag filled with small toys, coloring books, and other car-sized diversions. Occasionally, even a bigger toy, like a Barbie doll or a Batman action figure, would find their way into the bag. And every time that the Pekich family would drive across the state line, the bag would open, and the small and extremely important treasures would find their way into the hands of the young Pekiches in the back seats. By giving her children these small kindnesses, she taught them some very important lessons. The children learned to pay attention to what was going on around them. They learned to read maps and the lay of the land. They learned to eagerly anticipate what was coming in the future and around the bend. The Pekich kids learned, and they still know, that while what is coming may be a surprise, either big or small, those surprises could be good if you made the best of it. Some of the most special family times were days spent at beachfront cottages, mainly lately on the Outer Banks of North Carolina. Even chemotherapy and surgery schedules were bent to accommodate this family time together. For a whole week, or two if they could get it, the Pekich clan would drink coffee on the deck, read books, play in the ocean, eat and eat and eat, and simply enjoy being together. I'm told that the dolphins and the birds seem to congregate most often in front of those rental cottages, And there are many stories that emerged about Barb's character from these vacations. Once, while they were at the beach and Barb was recovering from ankle surgery and she was restricted to a wheelchair, Barb humbly took it upon herself to clean the salt off of the cottage windows. While the family looked up from the beach at the cottage down from below and they saw this figure in her wheelchair, it was Barb, never complaining, never asking for help, but simply out in her wheelchair, washing windows. Barb's sister Helen also tells another beach story, this one at an earlier cottage. In an attempt to create a beach at a small inland lake, Barb's brother and her husband Bill would slowly and carefully ease their sand-filled wheelbarrows down this big hill, and they would be very deliberate and cautious, go around corners very slowly. But Barb and Helen would dash down the hill with the second wheelbarrow, going full tilt, even launching the wheelbarrow into the air on the drop-off. Barb would always guide the wheelbarrow from the front, barely controlling it on its mad downward descent, yet somehow always managing to deliver the cargo in its proper place. Barb lived her life at full speed, yet she was always kind enough to take you along if you could handle the ride. No sermon about Barb would be complete without taking into account Barb's ministry and her relationship with God. I'm told that two themes were found with greatest frequency in Barb's preaching at Hearthside. The first theme was that God loved you. And the second theme was that you could change the world. In Barb's ministry at Hearthside, she met people every day. People who were having a tough ride in life. Barb was never naive about the pain in the world. She was always full of grace. But there were people who had been rejected by their loved ones, beat up or discarded by their spouses, fired by their employers, or kicked out and told, sometimes cruelly and bluntly, that they couldn't live there anymore. Barb met people who were despised, rejected by others, who often carried with them a lifetime load of guilt and shame. Barb believed that people really did not need to be reminded of their sin. She thought that society did a pretty spectacular job of that already by telling people how bad they were. She saw that the message of "you're no good," often beginning in early childhood, had found its way into the hearts and minds of individuals and somehow, mistakenly, had become a part of their identity. Barb believed that people who already identified themselves as bad and sinful did not need a prayer of confession in the liturgy. Instead, the message of God's unending love and total and complete forgiveness was needed. In order to inspire people to be their best selves and to live up to all of this potential which God had given them, Barb often used Jeremiah 31, the same scripture we read earlier, as the assurance of forgiveness. She encouraged people to live in relationship with God, to love God, and to accept that amazing grace and forgiveness. You see, Barb had the ability to help people look beyond their own brokenness and to see themselves differently. She treated others as a healed and whole person who God loved deeply and completely. She saw people as a person who could live their lives out as God intended their lives to be lived. Now, becoming the person that God created you to be means that you can change the world. In our Matthew passage today, we find the most profound expression of how to live out the gospel in the world. Words that describe Barb's ministry better than anything else can. I can almost hear Barb saying, "When people are hungry, feed them. When they are thirsty, give them something to drink. When someone needs clothes, get them clothes. And when someone is lonely, unknown, sick, or in prison, we're supposed to visit and take care of them. By our actions, we might not be able to solve world hunger or even end the problem of poverty in Grand Rapids, Michigan, but we will change the world for one person. We will be able to better the lives of the people around us. We will be able to, with small and certain steps, grow the kingdom of God in this city. The Grand Rapids Press on Tuesday referenced the now famous story of how at the beginning of her ministry at Hartside, Barb came to the aid of a neighbor who had been beaten up in the alley. The article mentioned how she wrapped the person in her arms and saw in his face the face of Christ. Our scripture today mentions about seeing Christ in the face of the hungry, the sick, and the imprisoned. But what the press article did not mention was how Barb saw the face of Christ in everyone she met. When Barb looked at you, she could see Christ in you. And it didn't matter if you were disguised in designer suits, fancy cars, or even if you were hiding behind $1,000 sunglasses. Christ was there. And Barb saw that your potential to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God was simply waiting for a chance to be enacted. While Barb's death is a time of great grief and a time for us to mourn the loss of the precious times that could have been spent with her, her entire life's work would be in vain if we do not examine her life and be inspired by it. Barb's commitment to justice, to love and kindness toward others, it all flowed from her heart. Her humble living out of her relationship with God and the gospel, they are a testament to God's great love for every person on this earth. It calls out to us as a model of faithful discipleship here in this place. So beginning today, with your arm around the shoulder of your grieving friends or family, with a cup and a loaf of bread shared with others, with your offers of true friendship and truly caring for and helping others, helping them to live out their full potential, we as God's people in this time and in this place are called to build on the foundations of the work which Christ calls each of us to do. Will you pick up that work that Barb has started? Will you do justice? Will you give love and kindness to all of your neighbors? Will you see the face of Christ and the potential for love and forgiveness in the eyes of the others who look back at you? With God's help, we will. Amen. If you would please stand with me, let us join together in the affirmation of faith.